That plastic bottle you just tossed in the recycling bin, it might end up in a Chinese factory, transformed into a fleece jacket destined for a store near you. The Christmas lights tangled in your garage could become copper wire in a Guangzhou electronics plant. This isn't environmental fantasy. It's the hidden reality of a $500 billion global industry that employs more people than any sector except agriculture. Most of us imagine recycling as a noble local effort, our discards sorted by friendly neighbors and reborn in nearby facilities. The truth is far stranger and more complex. Your recyclables are commodities in a vast international marketplace, shipped across oceans in containers that would otherwise travel empty, sorted by workers you'll never meet, and reborn into products that may circle back to your local store. Understanding this journey reveals uncomfortable truths about consumption, globalization, and what we really mean when we talk about sustainability. Why does a plastic bottle travel 6,000 miles to be recycled? Trade imbalances create perverse economics. When Chinese factories ship goods to America, those containers return to China, preferably filled. Shipping companies slash backhaul rates, sometimes just $600 from Los Angeles to China versus $2,400 eastbound. Suddenly, shipping recyclables to Shanghai costs less than trucking them to Chicago. This transforms American scrap into Chinese treasure. Raymond Lee's Shijiao facility methodically dismantles those tangled Christmas lights. The copper inside becomes valuable when processed by the ton. In China, with lower labor costs and massive manufacturing demand for 43% of the world's copper versus America's 8.5%, it's profitable. Houston's Waste Management deploys a $15 million automated system processing 700,000 pounds daily. Meanwhile, in Shanghai, migrant workers with hand scales buy bottles directly from residents for pennies. The fundamental difference? Chinese recognize recyclables have monetary value, while Americans view recycling as virtuous. This isn't about environmental consciousness. It's about markets and who wants the materials most. Long before going green became fashionable, recycling was unglamorous business dominated by outsiders. Leonard Fritz started at 9 in 1931, scavenging Depression-era dumps for materials to sell. On September 12, 1931, he bought scrap from desperate alcoholics and tripled their investment overnight. By 2011, his company processed 775 million pounds annually. Census data from 1880 shows 70% of scrap workers were European immigrants, predominantly Eastern European Jews barred from other professions by anti-Semitism. Recycling offered entrepreneurial opportunity to those locked out of mainstream business. This pattern repeats globally. In modern Beijing, recycling is controlled by migrants from specific provinces. By World War I, America's scrap industry generated $1 billion annually, yet its wealthy leaders remained hidden along waterfronts rather than Wall Street offices. The 1960s environmental movement rebranded this commerce as environmental cause, obscuring recycling's fundamentally economic nature. Today, scrap traders speak specialized global language. Honey means brass, specific codes describe copper grades, enabling precise transactions across continents. At OmniSource's Fort Wayne facility, a three-story shredder devours 130 tons per hour, up to 9,000 cars monthly. North America has over 300 such shredders, the most important recycling technology ever developed. From air-conditioned control booths, operators watch infrared screens as massive hammers spinning at high speed pulverize vehicles. Magnets separate steel, 80% of a car, from other materials. Behind the shredder, 10-foot piles of shredded steel ring like wind chimes as cranes load trailers bound for steel mills. This efficiency drove Steel Dynamics' $1.1 billion purchase of OmniSource in 2007. Each ton of shredded metal saves 2,500 pounds of iron ore and 1,400 pounds of coal from mining. By 2012, the U.S. scrap industry processed 75 million tons of iron and steel, with shredded scrap comprising 30% of new American steel. The revolution began in 1958 with Sammy Proler's Prolerizer, but the breakthrough came in 1959 when the Newells developed the side feed roller, arriving just as 20 million abandoned cars littered America's landscape. 2 hours south of Beijing, Wenan County has become an environmental nightmare. Trucks loaded with plastic scrap, auto bumpers, American household recyclables, crowd dusty roads lined with workshops. Black spots scar the landscape where unrecyclable plastics were burned, creating a dead zone where workers process global plastic waste in primitive conditions. 25 years ago, Wenan was renowned for streams, peach trees, and fertile soil. As agriculture declined, desperate farmers discovered that with just $300, anyone could buy a used shredder and start recycling plastics. Government officials encouraged the industry for tax revenue while ignoring the devastation. Inside these operations, workers without protective gear wash shredded plastic in caustic chemicals, then inhale visible fumes over extruders. One factory owner, wearing a Rolex and driving a BMW, provides no respirators for workers earning minimal wages. His recycled plastic supplies two Fortune Global 500 companies. The health impacts are devastating. 40% of adults now suffer from hypertension, with onset ages dropping from the 40s to the 20s. Young villagers develop pulmonary fibrosis and paralyzing strokes. Most shocking, a massive waste pit carved directly through ancestral burial grounds, with graves crumbling into toxic soup below, a stark symbol of environmental concerns abandoned for profit. In Guiyu, China, the notorious e-waste processing center, a rowboat-sized gold ingot statue dominates the town square, bearing a single character, "Gather Together." The message is clear: gather here and pay homage to gold. Guiyu's traders recover 5 tons of gold annually from electronics, extracted in raindrop quantities from acid-bathed computer chips. Walking through Guiyu reveals the operation's scope: storefronts advertising integrated circuits, workshops where children ride bicycles beside workbenches piled with circuits, and family courtyards stacked with old PCs and fish cages full of dismantled phones. Behind deadbolted doors lie stripped circuit boards and industrial ovens covered in melted solder. A 5-year-old phone, even in Africa, the market isn't so good anymore, is valued only for materials at $16 per kilogram. This contradicts narratives portraying Guiyu as foreign exploitation. Guiyu won't shut down when foreign computers stop arriving. It will only change when China implements secure recycling for its own massive electronic waste stream. While the government funds upgrades, environmentally secure recycling remains distant in a country where many lack clean air, water, and proper nutrition. My functional iPhone 4S tempts me toward newer models, held back only by cost and environmental awareness. Apple leads in using greener materials and offering recycling programs, yet research reveals a troubling paradox. Recycling options actually increase consumption. People use twice as much paper when recycling bins are available, perhaps feeling less guilty about waste. Nothing is 100% recyclable. Paper fibers survive only 6 recycling cycles. Many plastics recycle just once. Even metals lose material during processing. The real question isn't raising recycling rates, it's rethinking product design from the start. For cans and bottles, find the nearest scrapyard where you'll be paid, a reminder these materials have real value. Functioning but obsolete electronics are in high demand in developing countries. Broken devices can often be fixed or harvested for parts more efficiently by hand than by mechanical shredders. The global recycling story reveals uncomfortable truths: entrepreneurs who spot value in garbage, workers who risk health for economic opportunity, and a system driven by financial incentives rather than environmental idealism. Before purchasing your next gadget, consider its true journey.